I'm so blessed to be able to stand on my two legs and walk. Like, I'm getting beat up. Like, what do I do?
What you had to go through was extremely difficult.
My parents taught me what it is to work, how to be respectful and respect others, and just really get out there and do it, man. What do you stand for?
Kudos to you, Charlie. Moving forward, Charlie. He is a man of many talents. So here's the big switch, people. He's taking over the motherly duties at the Leon household. Listen in.
Hi, how are you?
Foxy, man, you're killing me.
Okay.
There's nobody going to be there more for you than your own faith. And you stick by your faith, it will happen for you.
Knockdowns, they have them in trillions, but they are married to a trait called resilience.
Igniting, inspiring, and evoking the fire within. You're listening to the What's Your Inspiration podcast with Fox Beyer.
Hello and welcome to the fourth episode of the What's Your Inspiration podcast. I am Fox, and that handsome man right across from me is indeed Ryan McMahon. Ryan is a loving husband, a brother, a son, athletic trainer, Star Wars guru, most of all, my friend. Ryan, how are you today?
I'm good, buddy. How are you doing today, man?
If I were any better, I couldn't stand it, man.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I do appreciate this.
Listen, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
Man.
It's going to be about you and how you are inspired to live. And maybe people who listen will say, you know what? I'm going to read that. You know what? I'm going to listen to that. You know what? I'm going to watch that, because that's what gives life even more meaning. So,
yeah.
So you mentioned to be favorite quote, and you mentioned Romans.
Yes.
Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Do you treat each day as a separate life?
Yeah. Yes. Every day I wake up and it is a new vision, man. I mean, you know, Chip, who's our pastor with the Patriots and stuff, one day left a note on my desk. This was years ago, and he left a note on my desk, and it was a span where I was really busy, and I couldn't make it to chapel for some time. So he left this message on my desk. He's like, read Romans 12:2. So I did, and you know, I studied it for a little bit, and I really took a lot away from that, and it has become something that I have held on to and anchor myself with. And I was at a point in my life where I was conforming to what the general world would want you to do, like, you know, when you're working in business and stuff, and I would always, like, conform to that and always, like, be that, you know, almost like a robot, in a sense. And I wasn't analyzing myself and looking at, you know, what I needed to do every day and what, you know, I needed to do for my friends every day. I mean, there were a lot of things that were, it was just work.
And if y'all know Ryan, I know you as somebody that will drop everything that you're doing to help somebody in need. And you're at your best. And he's been the trainer for the Somerset Patriots. Correct me if I'm wrong, from 05 to 11 and again here in 16, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay,
yes, sir.
I've got my years right. But
nice.
You are best, and you're good in all situations, but you are best in very grave, very serious, dire situations. And I can recall a game in, I think it was 2009, when Joe Holden fouled a pitch off his face, and just the way that you handled that, you handled it like you were going you had a cold and you had to blow your nose. It was just a very simple move. You made sure that Joe did not look at himself as he entered the ambulance or a car. So let me just preface it with that. This is a guy that really focuses on other people and maybe not enough on himself.
I have always been, and I got into this profession because of that. I've always wanted to help others through my life. That is the biggest thing that I want to do in my life. That's we're here to travel on a journey together during our lifetime. And the people we come in contact with, we have to help each other out. this is what I love to do, not just professionally, but just in everyday life. So that's what I focus on every day. I focus on what can I do? I wake up and I'm like, what can I do to make a difference today? You know, a lot of times when I'm talking to people or, you know, I'm like, you know, if I write something, you know, something at the end, I always say, go do good things, make a difference for somebody else today. I really think that's kind of, you know, what I've tried to build in my life, and I really try to hold true to that every day. And that I try to just make that my aura, in a sense.
It is. The way I know you, the last 10 years,
my biggest thing is I want people to feed off me and try to build off that. And that's just the biggest, you know, thing in my life. And that's how I, you know, want to do it. And the healthcare profession, to me, is one of the ways that you can really obtain that that goal that you have in your life. I mean, there's plenty of others, but for me, it's I've enjoyed sports all my life. I wasn't good by any means, so I wasn't going to have any future career, but I want to stop you there.
Like, you were, not knowing a whole lot about it, you were a great athlete in high school, soccer player, and ran track, correct?
Yes, correct.
And the guy still runs like a deer. I mean, when we
I did win a bet this year.
You did what? What was the bet?
I won a bet this year. You didn't hear about the bet?
No, what was the bet?
So we were in Southern Maryland. The first time it happened, we were in Southern Maryland.
And the Somerset Patriots this season, yes.
Yeah, it was a rain day. The tarp was on the field. Brett said that I couldn't run across from, and you've been to Southern Maryland, so
yes.
Where you enter the field, it's a hike across the field to the other side of the where the dugout is.
Yes.
So me, during pregame, I'm in and out, and Brett said that—
Our manager, you know, Brett Jody, yes.
Yes, he said that I couldn't make it from the dugout to where the gate was at the fence in a certain amount of time. I think he gave me like 19 seconds or something like that. And I ran that the first time, and it was like, you know, something was raining and stuff like that. It was kind of like, you know, I didn't win that first time, but another time we were there, there was a couple people in the dugout and stuff like that. So we were sitting there talking, and Brett's like, you should run it again. And Brian LaHare bet me $100 that I want to get there in, I think it was like 18 seconds, or 18 something. And I got it in like 17:50 something.
Get wheels.
So, I still got a little giddy up in my step. It wasn't what it used to be, but I still have some.
You definitely have sprinter strides, man.
It's a lot, yeah. And also, it's a lot to do what I've learned with work and stuff, too. And, you know, a lot of the stuff that I do at work, and I feel like this betters me. And I think it's a lesson that we can all do is I practice what I preach. You know, the things that I have done, like exercise-wise, I try things out. There's something new, I try it out on myself. One, to see how it feels so I can explain to, you know, the individuals who I'm working with, all right, this is what you're going to feel. You're going to feel maybe this soreness a couple days after, you know, this is, if you do it right, you should feel this kind of burning sensation, because that's what you kind of, you know, want them to perceive. I think that,
sure,
you know, works. Also, if it doesn't work, and if I don't like how it feels, I'm not going to include it in something, or I know, okay, this person can handle it, you know, just the level of stress. So, you know, I'm a huge believer in practicing what, you know, you learn, and to try it out yourself. You know, the biggest thing that you can do is so I can communicate it to you. I can understand it. So if you know, I like a book, or if I like a, you know, somebody that I follow on Twitter, you know, if I recommend it, I'm going to be able to sit there and say, hey, listen, this is why. And again, then that conversation or that interaction from person to person can start to the degree that then they can start to formulate their own opinions, but they have a little bit more tangible information. I've always been a firm believer in that as well. And that's where I've gained, you know, some of the things, you know, in my life, as far as, you know, the physical aspects of it, that it just comes from daily repetition over and over and over again at work. So yeah, I can run. I still can't throw a baseball at work.
Well, that's beside the point. Going back to what you said. Yeah. Well, listen, I can't run. So,
amen. Hey. So that's the thing. The biggest thing is that, you know, and I think, like, even me and you have had those interactions where you've asked me questions and I might not know the answer right away, but I'm like, let me research it. Let me find out. Because if I don't know the answer, I want to find the answer. And you never know where that path will lead, Fox. It might lead down a path where you start to bring something into your tool chest to use every day in life. It doesn't mean work or anything. It just means being a human and doing those type of things. So, firm believer in that.
In that. And going back to what you said, it's almost like if you're a cook or a chef, you want to taste the food before you give it to people to eat. I think that's, to have the ability to do that is not necessary, but it's a definite advantage. I remember a scout back when I was in college at the University of South Carolina, George Swain. George was nuts. He would show up in khakis and a golf shirt, like most scouts dress. Mm-hmm. Not most, but a lot of scouts dress. But he'd have shin guards, Ryan, under his khakis. And he would actually catch pitchers in our bullpen to get a look at the movement on the pitches and things like this, and see their stuff better. So what an advantage to be athletic enough to try out all these maneuvers that you would use for somebody returning from a hamstring injury and stuff like that. This guy's rare. This guy, Ryan McMahon right here, he is a rare breed. I just, you know, I've said this before in other podcasts, you know, I'm not a flexible guy. And you've seen me on the bench leaning up against the railing there. And Scott Kelly, our shortstop, would sometimes stand right next to me and put his right or left leg right up on the rail right next to me. I said, Scott, I can't move my right hip 5 feet in the air. And this guy right here, what you do, running back and forth before the game to get the Gatorade jug or the supplies, You just bypass all of the steps, just take one big stride, and just you're gone up the hallway. It takes me about five minutes to do that.
There are times, though, that I have done things like that and put myself in physical harm's way. No. And just like, no. Stupid.
Well, hey, listen, I mean, you've got a lot to do, and you're only one person. But all of that stuff is true. What a weapon to have as a trainer. Now, let's move on. You are a Star Wars guru, and you're currently reading a Star Wars type book, correct?
Yes. A lot of the reading that I do is Star Wars based books. It is. I have been. My first movie I ever went to was with my dad. It was Return of the Jedi. That was the first movie we ever saw. Yes. And that tradition continues. We just saw the new one this weekend. We saw the new Star Wars that's out, Rogue One. So, yeah, I read the books that are more like what they call canon, that's in, you know, the actual timeline. I like taking both aspects. I watch the cinema part and I watch TV shows, but then the books, reading is such a great thing.
It really is.
I think taking everything from what you know, like in the stories and stuff and what you see on the film, and then reading something is such a huge piece. I read, so you know the Bourne, you remember the Bourne, the original, like Jason Bourne trilogy, first three,
Matt Damon.
So I got the the actual novel, like the Jason Bourne, what the movies were based off of. And it was similar as far as what the plots were, basically like the storyline, but that was it from there. There were a lot of different characters involved. There were a lot of different, like for instance, his wife doesn't, in the books, his wife never dies. And the movies, she dies. I'm pretty sure she never dies in the books. Now I might be questioning myself, but I'm pretty sure she doesn't. But like his enemy, like he has a sworn enemy throughout, and the other pieces that like where he's trying to find his identity, he's trying to fight the government. Those are kind of like subplots to his main adversary. But the interaction that you read, again, when I read, it lets me escape. It lets my brain imagine things. I get to, you know, take myself and put myself where the book's trying to take me. And I really just try to let myself go when it comes to that. And when I get locked in with a book, I mean, I could sit there for times and, you know, it wouldn't be hard to finish like 75 pages, like just like what the heck just happened. It's like watching a good TV show. You can get into it. It's the same thing. Everybody talks about, you know, like with Netflix and stuff, and they go on like binge, you know, watching of that
series and shows and things like this
real quick.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Star Wars story, the Star Wars novels and stuff that I read, a lot of them piece together, you know, what's going on in between like the movies and stuff like that. So, and it expands on characters. So the one I'm reading now is on, if you're familiar with, in the first ever Star Wars, they had the Admiral, who is on the Death Star, that's like, you know, in charge of Vader and stuff. And it's like the pretty much like one of the main bad guys in the film. This is explaining his rise to power in a sense, in bits and pieces, taking you back to his childhood and why his beliefs are what it is. You know, so it makes you, you know, especially like with the Star Wars saga and stuff, it relates to real life. It makes you think about, that's interesting. Look at his values, look at his morals.
That was going to be my next question. So continue. Yeah.
Yeah, so it shows almost like in a lot of the characters, it shows innocence. Some are corrupted and some are misled. And it just shows like how you can take one thing and it can totally become something totally different. And it shows that some people have the morals, have the values, but they're very easy to be swayed. Others have the morals, have the values, and they hold true to them. And they do everything that they possibly can to fight everything. So, you know, you see what's going on in the world today with everything, you know, there's so much negativity that's around and hate and, you know, violence and death and everything. And, you know, it's very easy for us as humans to become confused and lose ourselves in this because we read too much into what other people are trying to tell us. In a sense, we don't take the time for ourselves to just take time and come back center and say, well, what do you feel?
You believe,
take
right.
all that into account. Yeah. So that comes back to, and you see that like with, you know, take for instance, like in Star Wars, the Jedi, they meditate. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's they're trying to keep their focus. They're trying to, I mean, and actually the bad guys meditate too. Well, they're going in the opposite direction. They're doing, you know, they're going one way versus the other, but they're still doing something to hone their focus in on what their values, what their morals are, to try to stay true to that the best as we can. If we take in, you know, if we read a newspaper, read a, you know, article online or watch a, you know, a news broadcast or something like that, oftentimes that's being portrayed by maybe that's like, I'm not saying agendas or anything like that, but I'm saying that is what they're trying to voice. They have a certain opinion. They might
they an
feel
angle.
A certain
yeah,
way.
Sure.
So if you watch one thing over and over and over and over and over again, you're going to start to form the basis of, oh, well, I think like that. No, not really. You shouldn't think like that. You should keep an open mind. And especially in today's world, where there is so many different things, you need to be open. You know, there isn't anything abnormal. Everything should be normal, and you should learn to live with that normal. You should, you know, love everybody like you, you know, love yourself. I mean, you should treat your neighbor as you would treat yourself. It should be those type of things. Reading the type of books that I read is really helps me stay on that path. So, yeah, I love my Star Wars novels. I love, you know, like some of the conspiracy novels. Like I also read Tom Clancy had a series. I read up to a certain point, and then I'm still trying. I have a couple others, but some of them are like electronic and stuff. And I there's nothing better. I don't want to, if I read a book, I don't want to do it on like an electronic medium. I want a paperback.
Want to get that feel.
Yeah, that's a book. Yeah. But so that was one thing, and that was like how there was a government agency and what, you know, they had to do and their turmoil between, you know, here's their mission, but they didn't believe that that was the right thing to do. And, you know, what goes on conversation-wise between people, because there's people telling them yes, there's people saying, I don't know, and then you kind of see the struggle and the turmoil with that. And it kind of relates to you not being in a political turmoil, but everyday life, like, oh heck, I have to do this and I have to do that, but I don't think that is right. And I don't think that you have to like balance that out. So I read that, and I love history. So I'm always kind of like looking up and researching, like, you know, history stuff. And, you know, if there's a good book on like a historical incident, I love American history, especially like during the Revolutionary period, how we were founded, and the Civil War period. I think that's a huge time in our lives in our history, that if you look into it a little bit more, you can see a little bit more about where we were and what was trying to happen and how we were all trying to come together. You know, there was a time trying to come together, and there were rifts there. And it's like, you know, you kind of learn some things off of that. I love, I really like ancient Far East history, on the fact that, like Japanese, ancient Japanese history, ancient China. I really like a lot of the ways that they hold true to their family structure, their beliefs, their way of interacting with people. It's very respectable, respectful, not respectable.
Yes, yes. Wordage.
And you see their, you know, how that was built. I went to the dry cleaners today. I'll tell you a story real quick. I went to a dry cleaners today.
Why not? Hit everything here. Dry cleaners.
And I think this lady came out, and she was, I believe she was Japanese. Fuck, she couldn't have been so nicer to me. And that was the first time I was going to this dry cleaners. It's right by where I'm at now. And she was so nice, like, and so respectful. And she asked me, you know, when I wanted to come pick it up. And I was like, well, next Wednesday. And she's like, next Wednesday. I was like, yeah, is that all right? Is that all right? She's like, that's awesome. Mm. She's like, yes, absolutely. She's like, man, she called me Mr. Ryan, and she was very politeful. She had a smile on her face. This was at the end of the day. You know, so she was just thankful for that interaction. And
just note that it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And, you know, so, you know, looking at those things, I take all those different things and try to, you know, take what I can out of it and make it a part of my life every day. Like, you know, try to learn a little bit something. I'm not going to conform to, oh, well, this is the way of thinking. No, but it's just like anything else that we do. Like, if we do a job, like you're a teacher, okay, there's so many different things that teachers have at their disposal to advance their curriculum and to educate the youth. But there's things that Fox implements and does to really work for him, because he knows that he can really work with that to get what he needs to get done to help those students out.
Just like what you're talking about.
And that's the thing. You look at, okay, well, if I'm at home, what are the things that I can do? You know, for me, I have to have, and I've, I struggle with it sometimes, but I have to have a checklist of things, like a to-do list. And I mean, I have one. I have one on Google that it's a computerized one, and I just sit there and I adjust it. I have due dates if there's something that needs to be done. But it's just, to me, it's structure. It's the structure of things, and I need to have that because I can't, like right now I got like 5 or 6 sticky notes up here that I have to put in into that, but I might miss something along the way. But if I have my list next to me, I flip it open and I'm like, okay, I got that done. I can't do that until this time. I'm working on this. This is where I need to be. So, you know, learning some of those things and knowing that, hey, stay your path, do what you need to do. And you never know, if you keep doing what you're doing, you might learn something new to help better you out with that. That's all. And that's the name of it.
Structure. Structure is huge. It gives you a path of what to do throughout your day. It's part of goal setting.
Yeah.
Going back to the Star Wars. Okay. Going back to Star Wars. Now, a couple of things, two questions for you. Number one, favorite movie in the series, and bigger Star Wars fan, Ryan McMahon or Glenn Barker?
Whew. Me and Glenn can have some pretty serious conversations. We've had some serious conversations.
Answer the first one first. Favorite movie?
Okay, my favorite movie?
Yes.
I would have
kind of Ryan thinking.
I'd have to say The Empire Strikes Back.
Okay.
You take a movie like the first one, the original Star Wars, and it was, here's a character, and, you know, we don't really know his past, but, you know, all of a sudden he goes and he's going to become a, you know, and again, when you first get into it, you really don't understand what's going on, and you're like, oh, he's going to become a Jedi, and what's that, and, you know, he's going to have magic powers, but they're not really magic, and stuff like that, and then, you know, it's all, okay, they win, they blew up this battle station, it was, you know, blew up a planet and killed millions of people, but they came and, yay, everything's fine and good. That film starts up, and it's a little more dark. Now, again, I'm going based off of just history. You know,
that's,
I used to watch
Empire
Strikes Back as a kid a lot, and it goes from, okay, they won, now they're stranded on some planet that's freaking freezing cold. And all of a sudden, they got this force coming down on them, and they're going to get freaking blasted, you know, away. Then they have to escape. But at that meantime, now you're seeing, to me, what was fascinating was the storylines. There was almost like 3 or 4 different separate storylines that were going involved with that. The first Star Wars kind of delved into that a little bit. This one really started to take, and this is where I believe the Star Wars universe started to take it to different levels of storytelling.
Which you like, since we already know that you're an avid reader, so yeah, makes sense.
So it has Luke going to see Yoda to start his training. It has, you know, the princess and Solo and the Wookiee, you know, trying to escape. They're still being tracked, so they're dealing with their own turmoil. You have Vader hunting down Luke. You have the rest of the rebellion trying to pick up the pieces. You know they're trying to pick up the pieces. It's not very evident, but you know it's going on in the background, especially that's where the books come into play, because then you start to see the backstories behind all that, what was going on behind the scenes. But then it spreads out. It patterns into all these different stories, all to come to back together again, where all three of the stories that are being told in that one movie come back together into one, to where you have, you know, all of a sudden, Vader's there, he traps him, he freaking takes Solo into custody, then he starts to manipulate, and like that, he starts to manipulate Calrissian to sit there and go, okay, well, all right, yeah, her and the Wookiee can stay after I take Solo, to, no, I'm taking him back with me, to, don't push it anymore, I'm going to choke you out with my powers, you know? So that's where he was trying to do something to better, to keep his investment safe, to where he thought it was one thing and it turned out to be totally different. There's a story right there that you can learn you know, don't believe the book by its cover. It could be something, and, you know, Brett said this to me, and the grass isn't greener on the other side.
Right, again, Brett, you know, Jody, our manager, is Jones said Patriots.
This guy
yes.
made a deal, and then all of a sudden it went downhill fast to where, you know, Vader was like, well, I'm just going to take over your city anyway, and I'm going to kill everybody, and it doesn't really matter. You know, like, you know, it went from being a peaceful, okay, let's make a deal, I'm going to get what I need to get and get out, to, hey, you know what, I'm going to occupy you, sorry.
A charbroiled steak to a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Exactly. So then you have that going on. Then you have Luke, who's training with Yoda, and he's like sitting there going through all this turmoil of trying to figure out who or what the heck he is and what's going on. Then he starts to see visions of his friends being tortured, punished, and killed. So then he flees, and they're telling him, you really shouldn't. Don't jump into things. That was pretty much the summary of that story. Don't jump into it because you don't know where it's going to take you and what path it's going to take you down. But he jumps into it. And he confronts Vader, and then Vader sits there and makes this revelation, like, nah, hey, dude, I'm your dad, bro, you know? And, oh, let me chop off your arm, by the way, and, you know, make you feel bad and beat you down. But, yeah, I'm your dad. And how about, hey, come with me and let's destroy everything that the galaxy is and rule together in this darkness. And it's like, oh, my gosh. You started out from, yeah, we had a nice little victory, and then, oh, all of a sudden we got our butts whooped. Oh, my God, you know? Solo's frozen, but he's not dead, but now he's being taken to a bounty hunter to be who knows what, and this person's going this way, and Luke has his hand chopped off, and he jumps, like, he just commits and just jumps off this platform. Thank God he's saved, you know. So it's just those little stories that you see, you know. Don't buy into everything that you see. It's not always the right thing, you know. Don't jump into conclusion. It was kind of like, don't jump, and it was always like, hey, don't take that next step until you really feel like that. And in my life, I have taken steps that I shouldn't have at the time, but you know what? You learn sometimes also from that. Like, you know, Luke learned, he's like, yeah, this is going to be a tough battle. I have to finish my training. Hey, you know what? I jumped into things. I have to back off and I have to sit there and see, you know, I have to always be wary that if I do jump in to that deep end of the pool, I have to be able to swim and get to that shallow end,
right,
and get to the wall to get
teacher.
Out.
Yeah. Experience is the best teacher.
Yeah, as far as who knows more.
Now,
I don't know.
Going back, the original question was, who is a bigger Star Wars fan, Ryan McMahon or Patriots hitting instructor and third base coach Glenn Barker? So, for the record, Ryan, who is the bigger Star Wars fan?
Well, as far as fan, I don't know. I don't know, like,
who's the bigger guru? Who is the bigger guru?
Me. I'm the bigger guru.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Now, I want to change the question a little bit. Who's the bigger guru, you or Patriots PR director Mark Rushenoff?
Russianist.
Yeah, he's all over the place.
I'm gonna give it to Russian because he knows a lot of stuff about multiple like comics, multiple sci-fi. So
yes,
he knows definitely. I know a lot about Star Wars, don't get me wrong, but as far as, like, you know, I remember me and Russian, we sat down and we had this talk about when the Superman film came out. Like, the stuff that he was telling me, I was like, all right, stop, you're gonna spoil it. Because
right.
He was giving me so much information.
Right.
Yeah, he knows. I'll give it to Russian on that one.
Okay. Good. A lot of good stuff here, and how Ryan is relating and using Star Wars as a platform to inspire his life. And obviously, you have been inspired by the characters. And we obviously, when we get inspired by something, we want to almost impersonate it. I'm going to give you an option. You can do what you'd like with this option. I want you to impersonate one of three people: Luke, Yoda, or Chewie. Luke, Yoda, or Chewie?
Luke, Yoda, or Chewie? Well, Luke's tough because he's doing it, but Yoda, I'm not really good at talking third person or talking, like, to myself, like, you know, but one thing with Yoda is I can't do it. See, if I do it, I'm going to do just Smeagol voice.
Well, that's okay for Smeagol from Lord of the Rings. Sure,
for
sure.
Another day. But it's like, do not try. Do, no, it's only... do or do not, there is no try or something like that.
You just take a deep breath. Wait a minute. Okay, that was amazing. I tried Chewy for years, so here's Ryan McMahon doing Chewy. Okay, and then do...
Or something like that.
Okay.
It's like, there is no try. Or something. See, I can't get that.
But you just got it.
I have to practice it and get into it.
Let's just try that one more time. He's going off here. He's gone. He is gone. Right, man. He runs up. He runs up.
Just silly little hobbit.
Silly little hobbit.
Did you see that mixture between those two universes together?
That'd be crazy.
Meagle and Yoda having a conversation.
That'd be crazy. I mean, that would be...
He'd be like, oh, heck, see, I'd have to, like, actually, like, get, like learn how Yoda talks, because it's so weird how he talks, like, about, like, he puts himself into, like, talks about himself third person.
He does.
But I could imagine that conversation, like, Smeagol, he's like, and he's like... I am who I am, or something like that.
It'd be tough. Yeah. Like Rob Schneider says.
It'd be pretty awesome, though, man. I'll tell you that.
You're like lamb and tuna fish.
Yeah. There, my acting portion for the show is complete.
Well, maybe not. That was really, really...
Fenway can do some acting. He's sleeping right now.
Yes,
so
we can see that.
Acting.
Your dog Fenway is sleeping. He's enthused. But that was really impressive, Brian. I have never, in all the years that I've known you, for a good 10 years, I've known you as a great Star Wars fan. I have never heard you impersonate anyone from Star Wars, and the Chewie was extremely impressive. I would actually give that probably a 9.2 out of 10.
Nice, thank you.
So one more time for us?
Oh, man, that's like... See, I'm done. I can't.
Okay. I think it's safe to say we should turn the page on that and move on. So are you ready?
Yes, sir. Let's go.
Next part of the show. So inspired by words and books and movies, sorry. How about music? Uh-huh. How about some music? Now, I'm quoting you here. You wrote to me, Fox, music done right is the universal language. It is an avenue where a story is told.
Yes.
Correct? Now, we're now going to play a game, okay? You are into music. We're now going to play a game as I wipe my nose. It's called What, Which, and Where. Are you ready?
Yes, sir. Let's go.
Okay. I want you to tell me, okay, where, what, or which these songs, where they're from, maybe the album and the point of the song, okay?
Oh,
because you got deep with that definition, okay? It's an avenue to where the story is told. So tell me maybe the artist, the album, and sort of the story it's about. Are you ready?
Let's go.
Okay. Here we go. In spite of all this food and beer, I turn sideways and I disappear. Where does that come from? I'll say it again. In spite of all this food and beer, I turn sideways and I disappear.
Is it country?
You could call it that.
Like genre-wise, country.
Say again?
Is it country, like genre-wise?
I will call it country genre-wise, yes.
Okay. Is it Hank?
I'm very flattered. Do you feel like those lyrics up there with Hank Williams or Hank Williams Jr.?
I don't know. It kind of sounds like it.
Okay. Say it again. On the record, you're saying that in spite of all this food and beer, I turn sideways and disappear. Sounds like a Hank Williams or Hank Williams Jr. song?
No. Hank Williams. He drink and eat the beer.
Do you like the lyrics there?
What's that?
Do you like the lyrics there? Are they powerful?
Those lyrics? Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely, because listen to what it says. Okay, say it again.
In spite of all this food and beer, I turn sideways and I disappear.
Yeah, so that's saying that look at all this that's in front of me and that all this that I could have, and I'm just going to sit here and turn my head and walk away. That's all that's saying. It says, I mean, it turns sideways and disappears. I mean, you're looking at it on, you know, that's dimensions there. That's like a 3D, 2D dimension thing. Like, that's 2D dimension. You turn sideways and it disappears if you're looking at it in two dimensions. But that's what you're looking at in a lyric like that, is that it is telling the story that, hey, there's all this, and you know what? I'm not interested. I'm walking away. So it necessarily doesn't have to be food. It could be something else. It could be some type of, oh, look at this gadget that I want. Yeah, nah, I'm going to turn away and walk away.
Right, I love you, man. I really, really do. That gives me great credit. Do you know where that's from?
No, I don't. I do not know.
It's actually from this book, Letter Kindling, Igniting, Inspiring, Evoking the Fires Within. That's from a song called Skinny Fat Dude. And it's about nothing more than about me being able to eat whatever I want, turn sideways, and disappear.
See?
So it's...
But again, you can eat whatever you want... Again, but when you look at, that's, you're saying that one thing, you can do that. That's talking about you, and you can also take, that's where.
I agree. It can be interpreted in any way you want.
Well, but that's where when you write something, and again, with the way you write, you have to interpret, okay, well, what's the writer writing on when you're reading a book, or, especially when it's, biography or something about themselves. What are they writing about? Then you take that, and again, this is where I think like learning is really important when you read something or when you try to look at something. Hey, I am sitting here listening to this and saying, I see all this food and beer, but I can turn around and walk away from it. And you can go look at it on this facet. Somebody that's overweight.
Yeah. And I'm a big fan.
Maybe they're all trying to, they're on a diet. Maybe they're trying to, lose weight or try to do something like that. That could be relevant for all those. So when you listen to words or when you listen to music or you listen to, what a story is trying to tell you, it's not, again, it goes back to, it's not just one point of view. There's multiple points of view. It applies to everybody, no matter what you're doing, where you're at. It doesn't have to be food. It could be this. It doesn't have to be this. It could be this. So you take that and you learn from it and you build into
yourself. You take your meaning from that.
How does that inspire you to change your process of thinking?
So I want to ask you, how does that line inspire you? In spite of all this food and beer, I turn sideways and disappear.
With everything that's out there these days, I take it as with all the information that could be presented out there, and with everything that's like negative and hateful, I can see all that, and I can turn around and I can walk away and be myself still, and still be me, and I don't have to listen to why people think a certain way, and I don't have to watch TV. The news broadcast where people are arguing. And I look at that and I'm like, that's not setting the right example. I'm turning away and walking away, and I disappear from that. I turn off the channel. That's the literal interpretation. I turn the channel off. I find something else. But I, meaningful wise, I walk away from it. I get away. If there's something that is, bothering me, that I just don't, I'm going to turn, not in a fashion of, I'm just going to avoid this. That's influencing me in the wrong way.
Right. It's there.
I need to go find something that's going to influence me in the right way. Now, again, I am going to take facts off of things, but when the facts become so laden down with anger and hate, then that's where you draw the line and like, okay, this isn't informative. This is bias, and I'm done. I'm not going to put up with it. So it's adios.
Adios. Moving on.
Adios.
In spite of all the food and beer, adios. I will turn sideways and disappear. Oh, I was saying in that lyric, it is actually a song too. It's from this book. It's also a song by myself and Greg Taylor. It's called The One Take Cowboys. OTC, we call ourselves. Skinny Fat Dude. Shameless plug, Ryan, off my website.
I love it, dude.
Foxbuyer.com.
Do you love it?
Do you love it?
I do.
Thank you very much. Now, Ryan and I, although we have different body types, we do like food. like to eat. And Ryan is a huge fan of macaroni and cheese.
Amen.
Correct?
Yes.
Correct?
Correct.
Okay. Tell our listeners, our people out there, where to find the best macaroni and cheese.
Well, you got to make it.
Okay, you've got to make it. So give us a brand.
Making your own, you need to make sure that you have a good combination of cheeses. So it's your preference. It's your preference. But what you need to
What is your preference?
What's my preference? Yes. Preference? Cheddar.
Cheddar.
Colby Jack.
Colby Jack.
You melt that. You mix it in with the noodles that you boil. You put it in. You add in some more cheddar. You throw it in the oven. You bake it. You throw some breadcrumbs on top. Some people like to put the breadcrumbs in. The actual combination, not so much. But I put breadcrumbs on top. I also put a little Parmesan cheese on top. Sometimes I put a little cayenne pepper inside to give it a little bit more of a kick sometimes. Yeah, it depends. But like when I mix my cheese mixture up and I put it inside the noodles and stuff, I will actually sit there and put some of those spices in there to kind of kick it up a notch. And it just gives a little bit more warmth to it. But yeah, off the shelf, I'm a huge fan of Wawa's macaroni and cheese.
Yes.
I had from a restaurant, I was out in San Diego. We were up in La Jolla, and there was this seafood restaurant. They had the best lobster mac and cheese. So I'm not just a mac and cheese
guy. Yes.
I like macaroni and cheese. It's always been one of my favorites. I also like it with like cheeseburger, like, or like hamburger.
Put it on top of the burger?
I throw hot dogs in there sometime. I throw obviously lobster. I've had shrimp in it. So I like different things. The one that I had when I was out in California, that lobster mac and cheese was phenomenal.
What was the name of the restaurant? I've spent some time in Mission Beach, not La Jolla.
Don't know off the top of my head. I forget. Okay. I forget exactly where. I don't know if we were in La Jolla itself. It was right around there, but it was right around that area. Yeah.
Okay.
It was right around that area. So, but I mean, some of the best lobster mac and cheese. But yeah, on the road when we were traveling, Wawa mac and cheese. But that's just pretty much like Stouffer's. You get a store to Stouffer's mac and cheese. Sure. I think they might be the supplier or something because it's pretty good. Tastes like Stouffer's mac and cheese, but yeah, nothing beats a dough making it yourself because you can flavor it the way you want to.
Yes, you are.
You can add anything you want to. Like I said, if I feel like throwing hot dogs in there one night, I'll throw hot dogs in and there you go. It's like, you know, so it's like SpaghettiOs. You can make your own SpaghettiOs. Like you just get those little rings at the store, you get some tomato sauce and some, and stuff, and you mix it all together and boom, you get some hot dogs and you got SpaghettiOs and a lot less preservatives.
Let's get this straight, Ryan. You're saying you can put hot dogs in SpaghettiOs?
Yeah, you never done that?
No, I have not. I need to try it. People try it. Hot dogs in SpaghettiOs.
They make it like actually in like the can. So like if you go to the food store and then you know where they have the prepared foods area and this, you know, you get the canned SpaghettiOs, they have SpaghettiOs with Franks in them. Don't do that one.
Okay.
Just get regular canned SpaghettiOs, boil up your own hot dogs. Okay. Cut them up and just throw them on in there. Wow. Delicious.
Wow. I just never been a SpaghettiO guy. Did not realize that.
Try it. It's like Franks and beans. Honestly,
inspired here on the What's Your Inspiration podcast to try some new food.
Look, you're going into a culinary section.
Culinary section of What's Your Inspiration podcast. Why the heck not? We do everything else on here.
We do.
Now we haven't finished the what, who, and where section of the podcast. So
it's out of your book. I know it. Let's go
in the book. In spite of all this food and beer, I turn sideways and disappear from the poem, song, skinny fat dude from the book Letter Kindling. Yes, we all do. Next lyric, tell me who it's from and sort of what it's about. Quote, like the day I heard, Daddy never gave affection. Like the day I heard, Daddy never gave affection.
No, not drawing a clue. Say it one more time.
Daddy, I'm sorry. Like the day I heard, Daddy never gave affection.
No, drawing a blank.
No? Well, I can tell you the story here. Well, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm actually going to find it here and begin playing a song. You might recognize it, Ryan. I'm not sure. I'm not really sure. Let's see if you can hear it. That's an ad. It's going to run for a little bit. Just hang on.
Yes.
Can you hear that?
No, it's good. Yeah, I can hear it.
Give it about 5 seconds here. Like the day I heard, Daddy never gave affection, here we go. What the heck? Oh, okay. It's the video. Just hang on. Let it roll. Hang on.
Oh, it's Pearl Jam.
Pearl Jam, Jeremy. We'll let it run for a little bit. But do you know the story behind this song?
This the story behind this one, as far as I can interpret it too, is that you have a troubled youth, and I think I don't know if he was necessarily telling his story, but it is. From what I get out of it is that he is telling his a story about a boy who maybe a lot of us could relate to, was maybe the quiet one that we saw in school, maybe the one that really didn't say too much, maybe the one that was picked on, and he had a lot going on elsewhere. He had a troubled life, you know, and it sounded like, you know, what the story was trying to tell was that, you know, especially in the part where, it's a very memorable line where they were saying they were picking on the boy. He seemed harmless, you know.
Yes. If you know anything about us, we've played that song over and over again in the clubhouse.
So they were pushing him to a point where it sounds like he was being bullied and pushing to him to a point where they confronted him and then he just snapped. And it kind of just showed that maybe there was a release of so much frustration.
He sure did snap, Ryan. And the actual story is that this kid took his life in front of his classmates. He shot himself. And that's what
how much I know about the whole song.
The song's about. And Ryan and I, over the years, after games in the clubhouse, have played the song ad nausea, because there's a part where there's a cuss word in there, and there's a particular video where Eddie's that are singing it at a Pink Pop festival in Europe, and you know, he uses that colorful adjective, and this just continues on with the song, showing his talents. But again, yes, Jeremy, it's the song about a kid who takes his life in front of his classmates. So there it is.
Again, when you listen to the song, the thing that I take out of the song is that you have to respect everyone and have to understand everyone. Don't just think that because they act differently, they are different. Look at them because they act differently, that maybe they are calling out. Maybe that's their calling to you for help. Yeah. And, you know, in this world today that we live in, it's very evident. Mental health is a very serious thing. And people need to understand that they're not strange. They're not psychotic. They have an issue, a health issue that needs to be addressed. And that is the name of the game. And it affects so many people. You know, I suffer from mild depression and, you know, anxiety. How many people in this world do? A lot. And the help needs to be there for the cases that are severe, to where, you know, they're going to do harm to themselves or to others. And that can be averted, but we just, you know, we sometimes turn a blind eye to that. And then that's not, you know, and listening to songs like that and the similar songs, you know, POD had, when the Columbine things, they had Youth of the Nation. Yes. Everybody thought that Youth of the Nation, because it was around the time of September 11th, because Columbine was in close proximity to September 11th.
And 99, when they,
and when they wrote those songs and that song came out, they thought that Youth of the Nation was about 9/11 and that we were the Youth of the Nation. And that this, no, if you listen to the song, it's about the Columbine shooters. Like, it's about, like, what the, those kids that died that day, like, the feelings that, you know, like, that weren't expressed because they were deceased. Like, that was, you know, that was, like, you know, instead of going, you know, to take a test, I took, you know, two in the back, you know, of my chest. You know, like, those are lines in those songs, like, that they were, like, I never knew that this would happen. You know, I never would have thought that these people, you know, they were the ones that we looked differently upon, and this is what happened, you know. So what that song's trying to say is that we need to focus on the youth. And, you know, I think maybe that was ahead of its time, sitting there saying, like a little flag saying, hey, you know, let's pay attention to this. Let's maybe kind of look at this a little bit more in depth before things maybe happen again or get worse. And what do? We turn a blind eye to it. What happens? Things happen and it gets worse and it gets worse. And now it's like almost a norm, like where if there's something wrong, people with mental disabilities and mental health issues will find and think that that is acceptable because it's just, it's out there and it's so right. But if they're not educated, encouraged, and treated and cared for to come out of that darkness, then, you know, if we're, that's our fault. Mm. That's our fault to not recognize and say something's wrong with them. And not wrong in like a bad sense, like something's wrong with them. It's like something like, you know, they need help, you know, and that goes with mental health disabilities. That goes with any other kind of disabilities that you can, you know, put, you know, you've lived it, you know, and
I have in a way, yes.
Oh yeah. I would think so. Right. Yeah. Like, yeah. But you know, seeing that it's like, and our elderly, how can I help them? How can I help this person that is, you know, mm-hmm. You've had days where, you know, I even told you, hey, sit down, take a break for a second. Cause I see you're struggling. And it's just me being like saying,
That's just you.
Actually, I don't understand. I don't want to say I understand what you go through because I do not live, you know, I understand what you
but
go through.
But you know I need to take a break.
I don't know if you do or not. I just feel that way. Hmm. And me being concerned and saying, hey, you want to take a break for a second? Hey, take a break for a second. I think just go sit down for a second. You feeling all right? Like, you know, it's just a thing. Or holding the door for somebody that's elderly or helping them put their coat on, mm-hmm. you know, if they can't do it. Or, you know, if somebody drops something on the ground or if they can't reach it, pick it up for them. And that might be a normal human being, you know, that has everything perfectly right with them and nothing's wrong. And you can just still be a fellow, a good person and sit there and pick it up. And you know what? There was a commercial. What was that commercial? I think it was an insurance company at one point. I might not be 100% accurate on that, but it was the one person did a good deed and it went back and it showed the other cycles of, oh, somebody held the door for somebody and the other person saw
forward.
It. Yeah.
It inspired. It's
you never know. You never know by what your actions are.
Life vest, boomerang. Yeah.
Yeah. You never know what your actions are going to do that one inspires the person that actually you do the deed for mm-hmm. or somebody else that sees it. And it's like, that's, oh, heck. And it just hits a switch up here. Oh, heck, maybe I need to be more conscientious. Yeah, if I could talk of what's going on, you know? So, you know, that's where I feel for me, music is a place to, you know, again, like reading, more so music for me than reading. I've been in music since I was in elementary school. I played the saxophone all the way through.
You did?
I was in the band. Yeah, man, absolutely.
I never knew that.
I played all the way up through high school. I was in the band. Everybody can say, yeah, you're a bad geek and this other thing, whatever. You know what? You can sit there and tell me that. I also played sports.
I'm not telling you that. I think it's great.
Yeah.
Clarence Clemens.
It brought diversity to my life. And you met some, you learned some things. But with me, music, it's international. And I said that. And you mentioned it. It's international. Mm-hmm. A lot of people can relate to it. Especially some of the music, like the electronic music I listen to. That's big all around the world. The country I listen to, that's big all around the world. I mean, in especially in the United States, but in some other parts like in Canada and stuff, I mean, that's still, I like the music that sits there and tells stories or makes you or inspires you to let you imaginate and make stories for yourself or to bring yourself to a place. I listen to classical music. You know, I'll sit here on a Saturday morning if I'm sitting here doing bills or reading like up on fantasy football. I'll have a class playing. It's just something, and it's not consistent. Like I can jump literally. I can jump from listening to classical or meditative type music to hard
Slayer.
Rock. Exactly, you're Metallica. I can have I could have Beethoven or Bach on, and then I can switch over to Metallica.
Wow.
It's just
Fifth Symphony, Enter Sandman.
It's just and I mean, I like all genres of music. I'm not a pop guy. I like the music. Some people are, you know, have the right idea. I think music today, in some aspects, is oversaturated, and it's about making money versus actually producing something that is. Fun to listen to in a sense of that they're doing it. They have somebody else write the lyrics. They have somebody else write the music and they just use their talent to sing. Now I look at it as, man, that's a freaking sweet voice, but I want to hear what you're thinking, not what some other person's thinking to be like, oh, let's catch on and sell millions of records. I want to hear what you're saying. Tell me a story from your heart. Some people still do that, but you know, like, rap anymore, I can't listen to modern rap. I listen to a lot of Christian rap, or Christian hip hop and R&B. Obviously for the reasons that it is awesome that the talent that these guys have, that they can sit there and take a message and put it into beats. And it is, I mean, there's a couple of channels I listen on Spotify. You know, look up Christian rap playlist. It is phenomenal. I mean, like I'm jamming out in my car and people are probably thinking like, I'm listening to like, I can't even name new artists these days that we would, but I'm like sitting there and it's telling me about how, you know, I should, you know, live my life through Christ. And it's just, you know, that's just, you know, the fun things I do. I listen to a lot of country, a lot of, you know, rock. I grew up like on Metallica and all, you know, 80s. I can listen to 80s music. You know, I could have a little, little Toto on and then freaking go.
Toto! Reference here.
You know, from Toto to Tiesto. Maybe I'll write a, you know, something about that one day. But it's just that I focus on all that, man. Like, and you're the same way. Like, and that was, you know, we've had some fun nights, and you know, Fox has a very good palette for music as well, and you know, it also inspires what you do as far as your writing and your speaking and stuff. And you know, we're the same way. Like,
we
can listen to one song and then switch it and then listen to another song, you know, and we can make fun of some other songs because we're like, what the heck are they saying? And you know what I'm talking about.
Yes,
but
yes,
I'm like,
we do.
Do you have any idea what the heck are they talking right now? Like, did they just sing something? You know, I wish.
As Chris Tucker would say, do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
You know what I do sometimes, Fox? I sit there and I hear a song that I like the actual musical tones to, and I find the instrumental versions. I don't want to hear what the person has to say. I just want to listen to what the beat sounds like, or what the, you know, and try to pick out the different tones and what's going on. So that's kind of, you know, that's kind of how I look with that. That's all.
Yeah, it just depends where you are at the moment and suits your mood. Yeah. We do have similar musical palettes, definitely, for sure. And this next what, which, and where kind of demonstrates that. And I think as really good friends, we have communicated not with hi, hello, how are you. Sometimes it's words from a song, and then we just walk away from each other. And this really notes that. And here is a lyric from this song that we love so much. Can you please tell me the name of the song and possibly the artist for $64,000? We are the same. We are after the same rainbow's end, waiting round the bend. I'll say it again. I'm sorry. We are after the same rainbow's end, just waiting round the bend.
Man, what song is that, Fox?
Now, if you just think about our friendship over the years, this will come right out. I'll say it one more time.
I'm thinking Adam Sandler. Dude, all I can think about is Adam Sandler.
I know, yeah.
That's all I can think about right now. I'm like, that's not a freaking song.
1996 album, yes, and the GOAT. It's not that. It's not that.
Oh, heck.
We are after the same rainbow's end, just waiting around the bend.
Heck, man. I'm trying to think. I'm thinking of so many freaking songs. I know it's not. Say one more time.
We are after the same rainbow's end, just waiting round the bend. Don't get too deep now on me.
I know, okay? I am. I'm like really deep in thought right now. My mind's messing with me.
I can hear you thinking.
I know. My mind's messing with me. I'm thinking too much. Give me another clue. Do you have any other clues?
Just from a joke that we once told to each other, and just some of those days we've had, we just say two words in a sing-songy tone. And that's actually the name of the song.
River.
That's exactly where it is.
I knew it. I was thinking, is it? I was like, I'm like, what do we say? Because there's other things that we say to each other every single day, which I'm not going to repeat. But I mean, like, you know, yes, Moon River.
Moon River, Andy Williams. Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
Yes. That started one night. Oh, dude.
It was just from a joke, and that was the...
We were just messing around with it one night, and then it became like a typical, like, just like regular, like, we would sit there and just talk like a normal sentence, and then all of a sudden I'd just walk away and be like, Moon River. They would be like...
Yes,
like,
you would.
What are we talking about?
Yes,
right
you
now?
Would.
Sorry, I had to think about that. I'm like sitting there thinking about it, and... Once you told me it's like something was every single day, I was like, okay, well, was it the Busta Rhymes thing that we used to do? Was it the I was thinking the Busta Rhymes. I was like, no, we
wasn't
never really
Busta
like, that in conversation. Like we never would like put that in conversation. That was just more like a side joke type thing.
Right. And this was too, but you know, God rest his soul. What a song.
Amen.
Moon River, Andy Williams.
Amen
right?
Amen to that.
Yes, amen to that. Yes, so we've covered One Take Cowboys. Pearl Jam, and Andy Williams here on the What's Your Inspiration podcast. How about that?
It's beautiful, man.
It really is beautiful. It is a thing of absolute beauty. Now, to wrap up here, Ryan, I asked you about people that have had impact on
you. He's alive, by the way.
He's alive.
He's roaming around.
If you're just listening to us, his dog, Fenway, is awoken and digging now in the rug.
Yes.
Take a look, Ryan.
But anyway, he wanted a piece of the show. Yeah.
Yes, he wants a piece of the show. You talk about people. I asked you about people that have had the most impact on you. And if you've listened to the podcast to this point, very first one that we did here with Stuart Lake, he talked about his dad, and this quote just rings in his head and my head every day. He told Stuart, Larry Lake did, don't let the things that you don't like about your job affect what you do like about your job. And I wanted to ask you, Ryan, something your dad told you that has stuck with you for your lifetime.
My father told me that to stay the course and to do what you need to do to be happy every day of your life. Like, I mean, there's not like a specific quote with that, but I remember my father, you know, sat there and told me, my father, my grandfather, my father's father, died when my father was like in his, you know, end of his high school years. I never met my grandfather on that side of the family. My father, when we were growing up and stuff, and he got to the point where his father died at his age, she became very, you know, it became a hard time for him because he was fearing that every day would be his last. But he came out of that, and it was pretty much, he said, just based off of that, he's like, do what you have to do to be happy in life every single day, to do the right things in life, to be happy with everything you do, go to sleep happy, you know, enjoy everything you possibly can. And I think it was just like a self-revelation for him that, hey, that was a different time. This is a different time. You know, we have a precious gift every single waking minute we're here. Grab it and go with it. And that's what I've taken out of that. And that's what I've tried to do. That's why, you know, the Bible verses that I've said relate to me, you know, take it. Let's be peaceful. Let's do the right thing. Let's help others. Let's do good things every single day. And that's mine. That's my thing that I live by. Let's do good things for somebody every single day. And I kind of take that back to what my father told me is to enjoy every single day. My enjoyment comes out of helping people the best I possibly can. Again, the world is, you know, there's ups and downs in this world and we go through them. But every single day that I try to wake up and I try to sit there and say, I need to do something good today for somebody. And I need to build on top of that. And by the end of the day, you sit there and you look back and you reflect and you're like, did I do good today? Is there still something else that I can do good? You know, and it depends on what you feel like your limits are in doing that. You know, some people volunteer, some people do, you know, they go and visit other people. Some people give other people a call. Some people, you know, pray for other people, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. I could sit and pray tonight and hopefully those, you know, that's heard by the other person. And I don't have any physical or direct communication contact with them, but I have done, in my book, I have done something that I feel will hopefully make them better. Now, does it actually happen? I, you know, you have to wait and see, and you have to see how things happen. But you just sit there and you express your feelings with that, and you know, so that's always, you know, held true. My dad has always been seeing what he's gone through and seeing him progress through everything, you know. But I also, like I also said with you, my whole family has been such a, you know, I think it's a huge thing. Your families today are, you know, some are broken, some are all over the place, but, you know, you learn so much from everyone around you and the closest people always to you, your family and your friends. And, you know, you learn a lot from them every single day. So inspiration wise, they all are. And, you know, I mentioned to you that anybody I come in contact with is an inspiration to me. You know, you're an inspiration to me. Brett's an inspiration to me. You know, the people I'm at work with are inspirations to me. My family, my friends, my wife, my, you know, my educators, they have all been inspiring factors in my life. And I think as humans, we need to keep thinking that way, that every time we meet somebody, they're an inspiration. Now, here's a question. Do you think people can be a negative inspiration?
Yes.
Yes.
So you can learn from people even if it's what not to do. Absolutely.
What not to do. And there have been plenty of people in that aspect as well. I am thankful that I have met people like that because you know what? That makes you a better person. And maybe by doing that, you can make them a better person to be like, oh, look, they, you know, they respond differently. You know, it's not confrontational, you know, You learn from that. Or if you do have a confrontation, you learn what you did wrong and you back up and you try to change things. And, you know, so everyone I come in contact with every single day is inspiring in some sense to me. What, when and how you come to that realization, I think that's more when you have time to sit down and, you know, if you meditate or if you do some type of, you know, breathing exercises or if you just sit and read or when you're zoned away with music and let your mind wander, you know, when does that moment come to you? I don't know. You know, it varies for everybody. But I think that's, you know, I think that's a huge thing in life, that everyone's an inspiration. There are bigger people in your life that are, you know, more inspiring than others at times. Yes. But I think that's at certain periods in your life. And, you know, you can't ever forget what they do, because they might have an inspiration for you at a certain time in your development, but then that carries on and makes you the person. But you always have to look back and say, okay, well, they did that for me. To honor them, I'm going to do that for somebody else. That's how it carries on.
Outstanding, Ryan. I mean, you've given us so much. You've given us, you know, words from the book. You've given us how Star Wars has inspired your life. Stories about your family, stories about our relationship. Now, what I want you to do, for those who are listening right now, please tell them one thing they can do tomorrow to live a more fulfilling life. And then if they want to get in touch with you, how would they get in touch with you?
All I ask for you to do tomorrow and every day after that is to help somebody that is in need. Help somebody that needs to be helped. Do something good for somebody. And that will be doing good for yourself. Do good things every single day. That's all I ask. And I think if you do that and you start to repeat over and over again, you'll learn that it's a really good thing. There's not enough money in this world that people can pay you. The biggest payout is when you do something good, and that feeling that you get that you have made a difference in somebody's life. That is what payment is. That is what gold is. Take the physical and the money out of it. You feel that feeling. That is the feeling that you should strive for. Yes, we need money in this world. Yes, we need to do those things to stay alive. I totally understand that, and I totally do that. But there is no bigger payment when you have that feeling. So do good things every single day. Make a difference in somebody's life tomorrow, the next day, and on. And I can be reached at actually, the best way to, you know, contact me and see what I'm up to is on Twitter. Twitter is Ryan McMahon 753. So it's the little at Ryan McMahon 75.
How do you spell McMahon?
It is MCMAHON. So it's RYAN McMahon 753, all one word together. And you'll see my goofy antics and posts up there every once in a while. I'm not a big social media guy. Like, you know, I put some things up there sometimes. I let my feelings be heard sometimes on there too, especially when it comes to like football games and stuff like that. But, you know, I am on Facebook too, but I usually, because I post off Twitter and it goes on to Facebook, I really don't have a lot of interaction on Facebook. I feel it's too much, too many platforms for me. I'm not that educated in it.
Gotcha.
Somebody asked me if I had Instagram. I was like, I think I have it, but I've maybe posted like 3 pictures off there.
way back. I was 26 in this picture.
Maybe somebody put one up there for me, and I don't know. It's awesome.
Oh, man. Ryan, 4 letters, 1 word, amen. 4 words,
amen,
or 5 words, 1 sentence, I love you, man.
Hey, Fox, I can't thank you enough, man. And this is awesome, you know, what you're doing, you know, for the community and stuff like that. Keep doing what you're doing, man, because you know what? You're an inspiration to everyone around you, and especially, like, for me, you know, to see these things. And it reminds me that, you know, I can go out and inspire somebody. And it gives me energy to, you know, bring myself back in, because I see what you do and I see the things, and I listen to, you know, the podcast and stuff, and I listen to how people talk, and I'm like, okay, you know, it just kind of brings you back to center a little bit. So thank you for everything that you've done and written and sang, and you know,
you said sang. Like,
it's a quick story to end this up. Fox made a song for me. It was Take Two, Fox. Remember that?
I do.
I wrote that, and I actually listened to it before the season. I listened to it after the season, and emotionally, like, it, you know, Fox can see things sometimes. He's like a prophet sometimes. He can see some things and it's not so much telling you what to do, but it makes you think and it makes your emotions wide open. And I thank you for that, brother. I do, because, you know, I listen to it after a season, and I might not ever do what I've done, because I'm moving, I'm leaving what I've done for so long. But I am so thankful for the time and the people that I've met, and a song like that, listening to that, just cements that, and it sits there and solidifies it. So thank you, my friend, for everything that you have done, you know, for all of us, and keep doing what you're doing, my man, because, you know, we need this in life.
We do. We do.
I'd rather sit and listen to your podcast and try to formulate things and listen to what goes on than to watch, you know, half the stuff that's on YouTube these days, because half of it's just about, ooh, let's do this so I can make money or something like that. No, let's do something to talk and make ourselves better. How about that? Let's do that.
How about that? What if we do that? I think we have done that.
I think you have done that, my man. I think you have. Oh. And, you know, I mean, it's really a great thing. So thank you for doing something like this. You're an inspiration for us all. And hopefully there's somebody out there that will see what you're doing and want to do something similar and spread the word. I hope so. I hope somebody that doesn't. I know you're the same way. And I do it when I play my video games, and I, like, you know, I'm online with my video games and I'm streaming my video games and stuff like that. You know, I might not be the best at it and not let people watch me or something, but if there's one or two people that maybe become influenced somehow to, you know, do good things, then heck, I've done everything. Again, I've been paid. I'm happy.
You've been paid.
And yeah.
It's not with bills. Exactly. Exactly.
Yes. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it, my man.
It's my distinct pleasure. We've definitely paid it forward. So, people, that is the end of the fourth What Is Your Inspiration podcast. Ryan and I will talk at you all later. Take good care.
You have been listening to the What's Your Inspiration podcast with Fox Beyer, because impact on each other is the greatest currency you could ever have.
Take two. Take 2000. Take 2001.
One day I wrote a song. The words, they came out wrong. Embarrassing to my mother. Apologies to you, my brother. Intent to be a hit. All that came out was spit. I sit here embarrassed of the shame I carry. My shot was the best. Oh, you know the rest. I intend to flush. Take two is a must. So as the rain pours down, I ask back my crown. A song post-screw you. So here we go, take two. Looking to the past, we had a blast. How about those games and those post-game names? Tampa in the nine. My man, fun times. Haymakers in the rain. A Sandler CD, insane. 11, the wedding. A cane toward us heading. But everything was great. Over at table 8, now bonded by beer, I see our future clear. To the best we're headed. A ball in a jar exploded. So here it is, who knew? There it was, take 2.